This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. rolling on here on ESPN Radio. Hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving. Better than me trying to put together a princess bed and throwing out my back and my favorite team looking for a head coach as an LSU fan. I'm Peter Burns. She is Amber Wilson. All of our guests are joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, where I believe, Chris Felica, you are a minus 300 favorite for a nap post Thanksgiving. Did we cash that ticket? Or what happened, Bear? What was going on?
This has been the year of the underdog with all those AP ranked teams losing. Yes. The underdog won. I was not allowed basically to take a nap yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
No nap. See, we hosted. We had my parents over who came up from Long Island. My sister and my brother-in-law and my nephew came over. We finally got all together. We had moved, so it was finally our opportunity to host everybody. And no, I did not get the afternoon nap. I did shut it down nice and early. I was in bed around 10:15 or so last night. But no, I did not have that beloved like 5:30 afternoon nap after you just get done.
Well, that's shocking.
I know.
That's shocking result. I think Peter Burns just lost money on that.
Good.
Bet,
if he lost money to you, then I'm happy to help you out.
Kids are going to community college, Amber.
We'll try to make back some of that money right now. Of course, Chris Felica, the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. All right, Chris. So Texas A&M is favored by 6.5 over Peter Burns' LSU. Where do you see this one going?
I like LSU in this game. We've seen Texas A&M in true road games this year. They've had their problems. I think it's going to be a pretty raucous environment there tomorrow night. But it's going to be interesting to see how they treat Jimbo Fisher, a guy who seems to be perpetually the lifetime LSU head coach who's going to be the next guy there and never is. And I think in Coach O's final game, I don't know who's going to be playing for LSU. I mean, Johnson, obviously, they don't want to burn as much red shirt. So Johnson's going to be the guy. I think the LSU offensive line's played pretty well. I think they'll do okay against the A&M defensive line. I like LSU getting those points tomorrow. I think that the Tigers have a really good chance to win the game outright.
Yeah, Garrett Nussmeier deciding that he wasn't going to play anymore, so he doesn't have to burn that red shirt, like you were saying. I stay away from that one, Bear, for no other reason. As an LSU fan, I have no idea what the hell to expect, right? And I hope they do, not like Les Miles where they carry him off the field and then give him another couple years or something like that. That's not happening. But give me your numbers right now. If I said Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma or Lincoln Riley in Baton Rouge, Louisiana next year, which way would the chalk lean right now?
Lincoln Riley in Lincoln, Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma, rather. I'm not buying all. The name that I'm hearing most associated with LSU, kind of like as the realistic candidate, is Bill O'Brien. That's someone who I think is getting a really good look. I think Lincoln Riley's ultimate career path. It's like Dallas Cowboys NFL head coach, and I don't think you don't bounce for LSU for a year or two, for however long as Mike McCarthy's going to be there, and then go to the Dallas Cowboys. So I think he stays in Norman. He's got Caleb Williams, and I think they he stays there as long as he wants. But yeah, I'm not buying the flight tracker tales between Oklahoma and Baton Rouge. I'm not on board with all that.
That ends the interview with Chris Felica. Thanks, Chris.
Only Peter Burns is trying. He's been trying to make this happen so bad. He has brought it up about 37 times during today's show, Chris. And I think the only thing Lincoln Riley, his career ambitions, at least right now, are to just get paid more by Oklahoma, to have Peter Burns keep throwing his name into the mix there for LSU. But moving on, SMU is favored over Tulsa by 6.5 at home. So where should bettors lean on this one, Chris?
I don't get this number at all. SMU, I think, is in a really bad spot right now. I mean, Sonny Dykes has both feet out the door on the way to TCU. Miserable weather tomorrow. Blowout loss last week to Cincinnati. no title hopes, the best coach that they ever had. Like, it's just the administration and what's going on there. It's weird. You're honoring Eric Dickerson. It's going to be an empty stadium in the rain. You're the best coach you've ever had in Bobby Collins passed away. You're doing nothing really to honor him all week. You got the Dyke fiasco. And now you got a Tulsa team which has a pair of one possession losses to two teams that are currently in the top seven, and another one at Ohio State where they were in the game in the second half, and you're catching 6.5 with a team that has played hard all year long. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Tulsa just went down there and won the game outright.
We're talking with Chris Felica, Peter Burns, Amber Wilson here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, the game, Buckeyes favored by 7.5 over Harbaugh and the Khakis. Of course, biggest game of the weekend. It's that the hook is always such an interesting part, right? Like the seven, that when it's 7.5, has that number moved, Andy? And which way do you like?
Yeah, it's actually come down just a little bit today. It was 8.5 for a good part of the day, and I've actually even seen a 7 at Circa out in Las Vegas as well. So there's been some Michigan money today. I'll tell you what, this is a perfect example of a game that I have no idea really what side to bet on. All because the game is being played doesn't mean you need to bet on this one. It's the highest profile game. It's going to get unbelievable two-way action. This is probably going to be the sharpest razor-thin margin number that Vegas is going to post. I'd have a hard time playing Michigan just because I don't think that they can match Ohio State point for point. And I know Don Brown has gone as defensive coordinator, and Mike McDonald has come in and really helped that defensive scheme a lot. But at the same time, I just don't know how many stops. This is a team, Ohio State, in the first half the last 2 weeks, scored touchdowns on 13 of 15 first-half drives. So asking for a stop is like a monumental achievement, especially early on when you're operating off of the game plan that Ryan Day and his staff has worked on all week.
Bear, is there any, and of course C.J. Stroud is one of those reasons that Ryan Day has him clicking right now, and of course maybe the strongest wide receiver crew in all. I mean, when Jamison Williams can't even break the top three receivers and he has to transfer to Alabama, that's a pretty damn good wide receiver room. Is there value in putting money on C.J. Stroud for Heisman right now? Because it feels like it's either him or Bryce Young, and it feels like Georgia probably will beat Alabama, maybe ending Bryce Young's campaign.
Yeah, that was last week. People who were looking to do that now kind of missed the boat, I think, unfortunately, Peter. That was kind of like my angle going into last week's game. Like, hey, C.J. Stroud, if the favorite scenario plays out, they beat Michigan State, they beat Michigan, they win the Big Ten, he's going to go from the second choice plus money to being the favorite in the Heisman Trophy. The odds right now, and that's ultimately what you've seen. You've seen Stroud now become the favorite, and I actually, if you're looking in terms of just playing the best number and getting ahead of things, it would probably be a situation where maybe you want to play, two-pronged answer. If you did do that last week, then maybe you want to play Michigan plus the point, because if Michigan were to pull an upset or play close, then that maybe brings Bryce Young back into it should Alabama beat Georgia in the SEC championship game next week. And maybe right now also would be the time that you would get the best possible number on Bryce Young. So if you're holding Stroud tickets, I think at this point, those are your two options. And if you want to look for an opportunity to bet Bryce Young, I think now would be time for that as well.
Well, speaking of Bryce Young, before he gets a chance at Georgia, he's got to get through Auburn first. Bama's favored by 20.5 over Auburn, a very big number for a rivalry game. So how do you see the Iron Bowl playing out?
I think it's probably an under type of game. I think what we saw from Auburn last week, after that quick start, did absolutely nothing on offense. And I think with some of the problems that Alabama has had, getting stops defensively last week for sure. Some of the problems Alabama has had running the ball. This is kind of, I don't want to call the Iron Bowl a dress rehearsal because that doesn't do it justice. But this is the last opportunity for Alabama to try and figure some of this stuff out before they go against Georgia, who they absolutely are not going to be able to have a ton of success running the ball. So I could see this being a game where Alabama really does do a good job shutting Auburn down. And if they do get an opportunity to maybe rest some guys in the second half and avoid potentially getting some injuries. And again, that goes for Georgia as well. I don't think you're going to see Kirby Smart keeping his starters in for more than 2.5 quarters or so, especially knowing what is at stake next week.
Yeah. Bear, last quick one for you. Estimated point spread between Georgia and Bama, would it be Georgia -6.5? What do you think?
Less than that. It's up right now, and it's Georgia -4, Georgia -3.5. And I think that's a good number. I mean, I think if you put it at 6.5, like that high, Peter, I think you're going to get one-way action, people taking Alabama, getting a touchdown. But where you are right now, I think you're going to get a good bit of – I think probably what you're going to see and the way bettors are going to play it is people will lay the 3.5 or 4 with Georgia, touchdown Iowa State now, 10-0 Iowa State over TCU in the second quarter as we watch. And I think you probably play Alabama on the money line, thinking Nick Saban, Crimson Tide as an underdog, and they'll just play the tie. That's how a lot of like the BCS championship, the college football playoff, New Year's Six games go, the championship games, the semifinals. People like to bet underdog money line, favorite minus the points, so they try and create a little bit of value there. So I would think you're going to see a lot of Georgia money minus the points, but a lot of people also picking Alabama to win the game outright.
The best in the biz. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica and listen to Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. Felica, thanks, buddy. We'll holler at you soon, all right?
I hope both of you have a great weekend.
Thank you. Chris Felica joining Peter Burns and Amber Wilson. Remember, college football is heating up. Tune in tomorrow. Virginia hosting Virginia Tech, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, flip it over to football on Sundays or teams that play on Thursdays. Cowboys have lost 3 of their last 4. How much of concern do the Cowboys have? We'll tell you next. Canty and Golic Jr. rolls on with Peter Burns and Amber Wilson.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, bopping her head. Are you in? There you go. He said
of course
you were,
I'm in.
You're like a little
Who
teapot.
Isn't in?
Peter so Burns years, and Amber Wilson so filling years. In. Give us a call. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number. All of our guests going to join us in the Goodyear hotline. You can hit us up on that Dr. Pepper call-in line. Just a couple of things, news, just in case you're out and about and making that drive home from hopefully a great Thanksgiving and listen to us over on ESPN Radio. Cincinnati right now had an opportunity. They were kind of playing with their food in East Carolina early. They have since pulled away. That game is at halftime right now. I believe it is 21-3. In fact, since he had a chance to put it up 28-3 and really put a nail in that game, but then fumbled it right before half. So, Amber, if you're a Bearcat fan, you got to be happy about what you're seeing. If you're a Notre Dame fan, not so much right now.
Yeah, there was a few minutes of panic there where we thought that we would typically say like all hell was going to break loose, except for that would have actually been the opposite. Had Cincinnati lost this game, everything would have just fallen into place. And frankly, the committee was probably rooting against Cincinnati in this spot. Now they're going to be rooting probably for Alabama next week, right? To make their jobs as easy as possible. I just think that probably the committee wants whatever is the easiest path. Like you're probably rooting for Ohio State.
They
if you're the
would,
committee.
The easiest path, yeah, the easiest path for them. I don't actually think they care about the Ohio State, Michigan, but precursor, or let me say
because that could
first.
Make, because I mean, there's obviously an opportunity here for Michigan to get in as well. I'm rooting for all the chaos. So like all of a sudden I'm a Michigan fan, you know, any game, like obviously I don't care about any of these games. I don't have a stake in any of these games, but I'm rooting for Cincinnati in this game. I just want all the chaos except for I'm definitely going to be rooting for Georgia to beat Bama because I do think also, you know, I just don't want the predictability of seeing Understood. Both of those teams in it.
The easiest thing for the committee, honestly, would be for either Michigan or Ohio State to win because then Big Ten champion would get in, assuming that they would go on to win the Big Ten championship. Alabama defeating Georgia because then it would get them out of this idea of, hey, are you going to put Cincinnati or Notre Dame in? Well, I think it's easy to put Cincinnati in. They've gone back and forth on that, and then you could put Big 12 champion in instead of either one of those two. But they still have to go there. We'll talk a little bit more about that. You can hit us up on Twitter, AmberW790, or myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN. But I do want to talk about the games we saw yesterday. Cowboys lose to the Raiders 36-35, in which I believe it was reported earlier that the referees have had Tommy John surgery for how many actual penalties were thrown in that game. 276 yards of penalties. It was unbelievable. Cowboys allowed over 500 yards. Defense burned just once again. Here's Mike McCarthy, Cowboys head coach, in his postgame presser, talking about the difference in that one.
Well, the big plays, I mean, that was obviously a part of their offense approach, you know, has been particularly in a number of situations. They're effective with it today. 28 penalties. I don't know what the hell you want me to say. I mean, so right what you want, I'm all for it.
What do you want him to say? I like that analysis there.
So what do you say, right? If you're a Cowboy fan right now, and listen, America has an opinion about the Cowboys. Whether you love them, quote-unquote America's team, or you love to hate them, either way, how do you feel right now about losing three of the last four, and how should Cowboy fans feel right now? Freak out time or what?
I think that, well, you're the Dallas Cowboys, right? So the fans are always going to freak out and overreact to any loss. And now they've had three of the of these last four of them. But when you cough up 166 yards in penalties that you gift to your opponent, of course you're going to lose that game. And the good news there for Cowboys fans is that that is correctable. It's not as if you don't have the talent, and you were shorthanded in terms of talent without Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. And so a full strength Cowboys team here will be even more talented than, of course, the one that we saw against the Raiders. But the real reason that the Cowboys lost wasn't because they were shorthanded. They lost this game because they gifted the Raiders so many darn yards. And you're going to lose any game in the NFL when you gift your opponent that many yards. That is an entirely correctable situation. They don't need to erase 100% of their sloppiness and then being undisciplined, Peter. They need to erase like 25% of it, and they win that game.
Yeah, but I mean, this is not as if they were one of the most disciplined teams in the NFL, right? They were already one of the more penalized teams there. And what I've learned, whether it be the collegiate game or the NFL game, and talking to people or behind the scenes, it's like you the leopard can't change his spots, right? Like, this is the team that they are. They don't play great defense. The secondary was playing a little bit better, but Anthony Brown got torched. In fact, only the third player since 2000 to have four different pass interference calls on him in a single game. And I don't believe a team can all of a sudden play more disciplined. You're either disciplined or you're not, right? I mean, I think that's the big difference with this team.
But I do think that you can change that. Like, that's changeable, is when we're talking about things like discipline and sloppiness. Like, that is something that theoretically you can change. Now, I'm not saying that I'm convinced the Cowboys are going to change it, that they're definitely going to end up in the Super Bowl, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about the Cowboys. We know that they're playoff bound. I think we even probably think that they're going to take the NFC East here, even with this sloppiness and being undisciplined. But they've got Super Bowl aspirations. Do they have time to clean it up here over the next six and then into the playoffs to make some sort of run? I believe that they probably do, because theoretically you can clean up that problem. You can't clean up a lack of talent. You might not be able to clean up what's happening right now with Zeke in the running game, or maybe even what's happening with the defense, but you can clean up the penalties.
What I would say is the one you do, and I'm glad you brought up Zeke. And again, he's starting to get the mileage up. 2,000 career carries from his time over at Ohio State and over at the Cowboys as well, going into six seasons. You shouldn't have paid him $50 million to start with. At the end of the day, If I'm the Dallas Cowboys and I'm McCarthy, I sit him down for not only for the Saints game, but maybe 2 weeks to get him right. Because if it is Super Bowl or bust, you're going to need Zeke Elliott earning $50 million salary. Pollard's been a fine running back. Make him the bell cow for the next couple of weeks. Get Zeke right. Also, rivalry week coming up in college football. We'll talk about the Wolverines versus the Buckeyes. And is the Tide versus the Tigers the best rivalry in college sports? We'll tell you that next after Ambro tells you a little bit about AT&T.
If there are friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry. It's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T is offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new. So AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson filling in. ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. As Cincinnati has opened up a 21-3 win, I would say win, a little premature.
But it's trending that direction.
It's trending that direction. The Bearcats are. As college football playoff is obviously heating up. Now, watching college football slate has been will be cause for celebrating. The celebratory moment of the week brought to you by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate. Championship savings for the win. We saw a good win for Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss Rebels last night against Mississippi State. I will say this. Lane's such an intriguing character, because he is kind of this Benjamin Button as far as, you know, Benjamin Button, he was the actor that aged, like, backwards. I feel like Lane Kiffin's success has gone backwards, right? He's got the bigger jobs early in his career, and then finally he's kind of gotten to back where probably where he wants to be, is having a lot of success over at Ole Miss. 10-win season, maybe the first time, ties the record for most regular season wins they've ever had. I hope that we get many years of Lane versus Leach in the Egg Bowl, one of the great rivalries, the battle for the golden egg. Although, Amber, I'm not quite sure if that's going to happen.
You're shaking your head no here. No, I think Lane moves on to, I guess, greener pastures, so to speak. I think that he keeps climbing the ladder of bigger jobs. You're right. He was one that maybe it came to him too soon, right? Too much too soon. I mean, there's a lot of people in our business who flamed out when they get the biggest opportunities maybe too soon in their careers, and the moment's a little too big for them. And now Lane has gone the more traditional route and having to build his career back up, and it's gone much better for him the second time around. I just think his days are numbered there in Ole Miss, and largely because it seems like maybe that's not his favorite place to live ever. I mean, it seems like he's having a lot of fun there, and he's got a great relationship with his players, but also you'd imagine that that could probably be replicated most places. I'm interested to see what his future holds. I think that Miami could be a spot for Lane Kiffin if they get rid of Manny Diaz. I think that he very much enjoyed living in South Florida when he was the head coach of FAU. That would bring him, of course, back to South Florida. But I even know his name's even been, you know, rumored in the UF job. So there will be opportunities for him, whether it's this next season or the season after that. I think his days are numbered at Ole Miss.
All I know is that these coaches are going to get flat out paid. After Mel Tucker and his agent set the bar, James Franklin said it as well, too. Dave Aranda allegedly is working on a contract over in Baylor. These coaches right now are getting an incredible amount of money. Incredible, right? We talk about how big these rivalry games are, but now what we're also seeing is it's an interesting intersection right now, because I felt like when name, image, and likeness was coming around and in the pandemic, Amber, how many athletic directors throughout college football says, "Woe is me. Whoa, our budgets are really way out of whack, and we're not going to be able to afford this, and we're going to have to cut sports, and name, image, and likeness can't come to college athletes, and that's really going to just hurt everything." Well, guess what? Name, image, and likeness has been here. It's been out throughout this year. Have you seen the game have any issues?
No,
right?
It was ridiculous. It was a bunch of people scared of change that needed to happen many years ago, and we finally got there, and it was a whole lot to do about nothing. It doesn't actually harm the product at all, allowing these kids, of course, to benefit off the field from their own name, image, and likeness. If anything, you could argue that there could be enhancements to the product. So, from the fan experience, it certainly hasn't affected us, and you are right. We are not far removed from, in a pandemic, by the way, programs cutting sports. I mean, that was happening, sure. Don't forget, in 2020, and then here we are with, you know, a deal like Mel Tucker. Like, what a long, strange trip it's been.
$9.5 million. He's 16-14 as a head coach in his career, and he is now going to be the second highest paid coach in college football behind Nick Saban, who's won 7 national titles, who has 266 career wins, and Mel Tucker. Now, again, this is not me saying Mel Tucker doesn't deserve it. This is not. I'm happy for Mel Tucker.
It's where the market is now. I mean, it's always dependent on the market. Like, that's the market now, and Nick Saban deserves a raise.
And Nick Saban's going to get that, right? Kirby Smart right now, all of a sudden, is going to make $120-some-odd million. And so, what college football administrators feared.
Lincoln Riley is about to get a lot more money to stay at Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley, hopefully $13 million from Scott Woodward at LSU. Don't get me started about that. But this was the moment in which college athletics feared. They did not want someone like Mel Tucker in someone with limited amount of success setting this coaching salary bar so high? Because guess what? They were always going to pay it. They were always going to pay that amount of money. They didn't want anybody to do this. So now when they come to everyone and say, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, we know that wasn't the case. Name, image, and likeness is fine. People just feared what they couldn't understand and hated what they can't conquer, and that's why they kept the name, image, and likeness rights kind of sequestered for the longest time. And
right. Well, and of course, you have a weak NCAA that's been weakening, and that's also part of the problem in this whole conversation and sort of regulating some of the things with name, image, likeness. And some of that may get murky because we are still seeing it play out in real time, and it's very early on, and there aren't many regulations when it comes to agents. And I do think that we may run into some problems down the road with, you know, some of these kids signing contracts that maybe, you know, they don't have reviewed by lawyers and that they're not super privy to. But we'll get there, and all of that will get sorted out as the years roll by. It is good that we got to the point where, of course, they can benefit off their NIL. In fairness, though, to these programs, Peter, I mean, would you want college football to get to this point if you were an AD at one of these programs? Of course not. Like, you don't want to have to pay your employees this kind of money. You want to make the most money you can for your program, and that means dishing less of it out to your head coach that you're now going to have to with this reset of the market.
She's Amber Wilson. I'm Peter Burns. What I do find intriguing as, and we saw that with Bryce Young, who is going to be at least a Heisman finalist, if not the Heisman winner over at Alabama, right before the year, making what, close to seven figures, right? That's what Nick Saban told the Texas high school coaches back in July. That's what Bryce Young was going to make. He'll make even more than that. What I am intrigued with is that, are we going to get to a point to at some place, whether it's, you know, the next quote-unquote Andrew Luck, who was a no-brainer, right? Or the next Trevor Lawrence, is he ever going to find himself in a situation where, hey, money is not going to be the end-all be-all. And he, a quarterback would rather say, hey, I'm making a boatload of money. I mean, think about Trevor Lawrence had he been in that situation. It would have been great to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars as quote the number one pick because he makes a boatload of money, right? But would he have been better off to say, listen, I don't need the money. If I'm one of these first 10 teams, don't draft me. I want to go to
Eli
a team.
Manning.
I want to pull an Eli Manning, but even farther back and say, hey, you know what? I want to be Ben Roethlisberger. Why fell to a team like the Steelers? I've always dreamed about that. The Steelers are going to be losing a quarterback. Like is, and I don't know if Matt Corral is that guy next year that could do it.
Well, the problem is, you know, you have to be Trevor Lawrence in order to make the millions from the name, image, and likeness,
sure.
Right? I mean, there's a market for all of these guys. And yes, if you were, you know, a good quarterback at Clemson, you'd be making something, even if you weren't that great. But you'd have to be as great as Trevor Lawrence, you know, like we're seeing with C.J. Stroud. Like, you have to be that great to make the seven figures in order to even find yourself in the position to then think, well, maybe I don't want to go as high in the draft. Except for at that point, you're already going to go as high in the draft because you've already solidified yourself as the best quarterback in the draft. So I don't know if we're really going to see the power dynamic shift to that degree like people think. Maybe a few spots, maybe you could Eli Manning it where you're like, hey, you know, I want to go second instead of first in the draft or whatever. But typically all those teams picking at the top, you know, you're not going to land in the best situation.
What is interesting is I think the play of the NFL is starting to mimic more of the play of college football, and I think it's been successful. I think that's why the entertaining and the ratings are off the charts right now for the NFL. The business of the NFL is starting to leak into college football as well too, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. All right, what do we learn about this upcoming weekend of the NFL? We'll identify some of the bigger matchups coming up next. Canty and Golic Jr., Peter Burns, Amber Wilson filling in here on ESPN Radio. Canty and Golic Jr. No Canty. No Golic Jr. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson here filling in ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number. Looks like we got a turnover in the Cincinnati-East Carolina game since the 21-3 with 11 minutes left in the third quarter. Bearcats looking to extend a little bit of their college football playoff resume. Of course, unlike the NFL, or unlike college football, the NFL actually does have a true defined playoff system. And Amber, as we start looking forward, all road teams won yesterday over on Thanksgiving, including the Raiders going out there to Jerry World and getting that win. If I had to give you the keys to the ESPN Radio jet that Gojo normally takes, and you can go to any one game coming up this weekend, which game are you taking?
Well, I would say that the best game is probably that Rams-Green Bay game, but I am not.
Wait, how are you taking any other game other than Sean McVay, the Aaron Rodgers, COVID storyline,
the and Lambeau is going to be cold? I've got to see the toe, but I'm not going. But my problem here is that I'm not going to Green Bay, Wisconsin, when kickoff is supposed to be, by the way, 36 degrees. Like, I am a Floridian through and through. I do not know what to do with 36 degrees. It was 75 degrees outside today. So I don't know what to do with 36 degrees here in November. I actually think that the weather could be a factor, Peter, in that game. As silly as that sounds, I know that's football weather and all that jazz. But you are talking about a Los Angeles team that has to travel to Wisconsin coming off of a holiday on a holiday weekend. They've got to play in those temperatures. Sean McVay doesn't do so well. I mean, it's a very small sample size, but the McVay Rams are 1-2 when it's that cold, when they have to play in weather that cold. And then you have the whole toegate thing with Aaron Rodgers, which frankly is much ado about nothing. Okay. I mean, this pinky toe that he just had to show the entire world. He forgot to charge people for that, 'cause there is a weird market for that. He could have made some money. He decided to show it to us for free, something none of us asked for, frankly, but he's got the fractured pinky toe. We spent a lot of time, me and Courtney Cronin yesterday on Greeny, debating the importance of a pinky toe. We had a podiatrist weigh in. He called into the show. He said, it's really not that important. Everybody needs to calm down. He didn't break the bone.
Just cut it off. Yeah,
He legitimately
really
said, like, it's just a fractured actual pinky toe. Like, he'll be okay. He'll still be able to balance. And then this is the Aaron Rodgers that, of course, threw for 385 yards and 4 touchdowns in week 11 on, by the way, this injured toe, whether it was fractured or it was COVID toe. So I think that this has been much ado about nothing. I do think Green Bay wins that game for a multitude of reasons, but I think it's an interesting matchup.
I will say this. It's interesting because I don't think, and we had Sal Palantonio on earlier, and I don't think the Rams, this is almost like a Super Bowl type of game for the Rams, right? Who have had a little bit of their struggles, right? They went all in. They have pushed all their poker chips. This is the year. Aaron Donald, we're taking advantage of it. Matt Stafford is going to be there. We're going all in. And it's because of this game, right? The last thing you want to do is go up to Lambeau Field, not only when it's 36 degrees, but for an NFC championship game or divisional round game a little bit later in the year. And so for me, this is NFL playoff in the middle of the regular season, which I love to see. So to me, I take that right off the bat because I think we'll get a clearer picture because does it feel like any one of these teams is an end-all, be-all in the NFC right now?
I think we could just talk the entire NFL, right? I mean, what team is the best team in the NFL? I don't know. Is it the Arizona Cardinals? Is it the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You know, bringing most everybody back from a Super Bowl, obviously, defending Super Bowl champs. Is it Kansas City trending the right direction? Nobody ever wants to bet against Patrick Mahomes. Is it a Tennessee Titans team that I think, by the way, has a very interesting game against New England? That's probably the other one there that I would reference. I'm not sure New England is any warmer this time of year than Green Bay, Wisconsin, but I think that that's a really interesting matchup at 1 p.m. on Sunday. You're talking about a Titans team that somehow has been able to do it without Derrick Henry, but when there's too much on Tannehill, it hasn't gone so well, and obviously things trending the right direction there for Bill, but Vrabel has been the one guy that can always out Belichick, probably because he played for him for 8 years, and so I think that this is an interesting game there too.
Give me the Chiefs and you can take the field right now. Again, I still believe as long as I've got a good solid quarterback and as long as I got one of the best quarterbacks in all the NFL, I got a fighting chance. And again, I trust that Kansas City has at least figured it out. Even though there was a grimy win against the Cowboys, I think that that's the team that I would roll with right now. Weekend preview brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. She's Amber Wilson. I'm Peter Burns. Coming up, Nick Saban was ranting about his own fans about expectations. You'll hear why next. Canty and Golic Jr., Peter Burns, and Amber Wilson filling in here on ESPN Radio.